alright. Alright, alright, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. At least that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I am joined by two special guests. First, my buddy Kerry Morris and I will break down everything in the WWE as we roll towards this Sunday's Survivor Series pay-per-view. Then Dr. David Reese will come on the program to talk about sports medicine, pro wrestling, the Cauliflower Alley Club's 50th reunion, and much more. But first up, Kerry Morris, welcome to OWW Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Kerry, how are you doing today?
Good, how's it going?
Good, good. It's been a while since we caught up. What have you been up to?
Well, besides freezing my butt off in this winter's cold weather.
You're in the Chicago area. How about what's going on in Buffalo? It's like Siberia there.
Oh, that's true, but I'm glad I'm not there, but this isn't much better. It's just, we're about 30 degrees lower than normal.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have snow on the ground?
Off and on. You know, it's not bad. It's just, you know, when you're outside walking in it and that lake wind, it's in the negatives when it should be in the 40s. You know, it's, ugh.
I always like having you on OWW Radio, Kerry. You're a big WWE fan, and we're rolling towards Survivor Series. One of the major pay-per-views traditionally is coming up this weekend. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I am. I haven't in the past few years, but this year definitely has caught my attention.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the second longest-running pay-per-view event in WWE history, of course, only behind WrestleMania. For those who don't know, the first Survivor Series was held in 1987, and it's been a pretty big part of WWE programming ever since. Why do you think you're looking forward to this one maybe more than years past?
I like the, because I mean, I still like the traditional Survivor Series matches, the tag elimination matches, and I think this year's main event is very intriguing with the stipulation on both sides.
Yeah, but we're going to go and break down the individual matches here in a few minutes. I wanted to ask you, though, it's shocking to me. I want your opinion on the fact that WWE is giving away this show essentially for free. I mean, there was a time, Kerry, when I was younger, where, you know, pay-per-views were expensive, and I begged my dad to order the shows. And now here you log in and you get Survivor Series for free. What do you feel about that?
I think it's a good marketing play. I want this network to be successful and, you know, whatever it takes to get it out there. You know, to me, this is the new age of television. What everything is going to turn to, they're putting, you know, they got their, I guess they're getting off the ground floor first. It's going to take a while to catch on. So whatever it takes to build the momentum, I'm all for it.
Are you enjoying the network?
I love it. I mean, to me, it's worth a $9.99 or even more than that. I absolutely love it. I'm actually tonight going to watch the new Monday Night War episode and the new rivalries and the ECW Exposed. I'm going to watch that tonight. So I'm excited about everything that they're going to keep adding on to the network.
I love the fact that they put all the Saturday Night main events on there.
Yeah, me too. I've gone back and watched so many of those. And I was actually tweeting Lance Storm. We're talking about the errors they made in the tapings of that. And I caught an error in the main event of the Hogan-Andre match.
Well, what was that?
Oh, it was, if you watch the promo Hogan's wearing, he's wearing the belt from WrestleMania 3. And you mean he says, Hogan's off to the ring. He comes right out, and he's wearing a different belt, the classic wing belt. So I caught that error. I don't know how the difference between that tape promo and when he came out to the ring was, but that was not the same building. Maybe, you know, God knows how many far months in advance that was taped, or weeks.
Yeah, I'll go back and watch that. I watch quite a few of those main events. I went to a bunch of them when I was a kid, and that was still one of my all-time favorite wrestling shows. The versions of those that I have on DVD, though, are pretty choppy. You know, either they didn't get all the introductions or whatever from the beginning of the show. So I really like the fact you can go on there, they're all cataloged. I mean, that's the thing about the network, right, is all these pay-per-views and all this great programming is so nicely cataloged in its original format.
Oh, exactly. The only thing that changed is some of the entrance music, I guess, because copyright issues. But, yeah, no, everything's cataloged, you know, with dates. If you can't remember a date, go to the network and look it up.
Mm-hmm. So Survivor Series to me always feels kind of like the start of WrestleMania season. I know sometimes that's, you know, people think that's the Royal Rumble in January, but to me things start picking up this time of year. And I wanted to talk, before we get into the individual matches for Sunday, I just wanted to get your opinion on kind of the state of the WWE at this time. You know, you look around the landscape, we have some interesting champions. What do you think about the current champions? We have Goldust, Stardust, Tag Team Champions, Rusev now, the U.S. Champion, Luke Harper, Intercontinental Champion, Brock Lesnar's the World Champion, he's not even around. Do you like who they put the belts on?
I do. I think I absolutely agree. I think you're really starting getting their setting slowly, the tone for WrestleMania 31 is slowly starting to build it up, and I'm liking where things are going. I like that Luke Harper has the belt. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with that. Goldust, Stardust, Tag Team Champions, that's all right by me. Just stop breaking up tag teams after 6 months. Let them last for years like they used to. AJ Lee is the champion. That's totally fine by me. I'd rather see her or someone who is actually her versus someone like one of the Bellas. I think Rusev being the U.S. champion, I think you can go. I think that is the best way to keep building the momentum for Rusev. And then Brock Lesnar being a champion, you know, at first I thought it was a good idea. Now I think, man, they just totally shot themselves in the foot. They wasted the whole Undertaker losing the streak to Brock Lesnar, and now he's not even around. And won't even be back until December. And he might even leave after WrestleMania to go back to UFC. I'm trying to think, man, what a total waste.
Kerry, I think it's a little insulting, to be honest. I think wrestling has devalued the championship belts. I mean, most people would say that's probably true. In fact, I just wrote a column on that. The fact that Brock Lesnar is not even on the show. I mean, when we and I were growing up, Hulk Hogan was champion, and he didn't wrestle every week, but he was around. His presence was there. They would show a promo, or he was coming to the local house show to defend his title. The fact that Brock Lesnar is not even around, I don't know. I feel like all these other matches are just kind of jumbled together now. By the way, I want to take you up to task on one thing. I think the Bellas are okay. I think they get criticized unfairly. I think they're decent in the ring. Am I off base there?
No, I mean, they're definitely improving. I probably, you know, just thinking some of the promos have been bad. Some of the work, but they're definitely improving a lot. And, you know, like someone was saying the other day, you know, you need more Divas matches. The more they work, the better they get, just like any job. And so I like to see them step up their game even more to, you know, to get better. I just think I would like to see, you know, more of AJ, Paige, AJ, Natalya, AJ and Charlotte, some of these other who are, you know, I deem more as wrestlers, not pretty divas, you know, modeling around ringside.
The one thing I think they've done well with the Bellas, though, like when I think back the last 4 or 5 years of Nikki and Brie, they have kind of made an impression on me. I mean, they're interesting. They, you know, they fight. They love each other. They fight. They have boyfriends. I'll remember the Bellas, even though they're not the greatest workers. As much as I love Layla and Alicia Fox and some of these other girls, I don't really feel like they've had any kind of direction. I mean, look at Layla, for example. Once Michelle McCool left and there was no more Lay Cool, she's really floundered to find any kind of direction.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think also the Bellas, it's unique. It's remarkable. You really haven't had that. Two beautiful young girls, twins, who are starting to get better at working. And so I think that's why they'll definitely leave their mark, you know, their stamp on the business, like Trish, Lita, Victoria, Liz, and Sherry, and girls, ladies like those, versus, like you said, someone like a Layla, who years now, people are like, who the hell's that?
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, so much of wrestling is are you saddled with the right gimmick? Are you given the opportunity? I mean, we forget Kane was once Dr. Isaac Yankum, right?
Oh, God, yeah, seriously.
Yeah. And now he's...
I believe he was also the fake Diesel, too, before that. Or after that.
And now Kane's the big red monster, and he's a Hall of Famer. So, the other thing I wanted to ask you, who are some of the standout stars now, Kerry? Since we don't have Brock Lesnar in town, you know, we've had Daniel Bryan on the shelf, a Punk left, of course. Who's really filled that void in your mind that's become, wow, this guy's fantastic, or this girl's fantastic?
Oh, Dean Ambrose, he is by far, I mean, he is just, I mean, some people are calling him the next Stone Cold, and I believe with the reactions he gets, it's amazing. So I think that's he's the one who's really stepped up, Seth Rollins. Now that they've reached just Bray Wyatt, I love that he's back and back in the main event picture. He's another talented guy who'll be around for a long time. So those right there are definitely three right there. Dolph Ziggler seems to be stepping up a little more. I like, he's a great worker. He deserves another main event run. I would definitely go those four right there off the top of my head.
What happened to Cesaro?
Besides the fact that his theme is the most boring thing ever, this is off, of course, what people have said and what I've heard. You know, we don't know the truth, but I think despite the fact that he was so over, especially in New Orleans, and you saw how over he was, even in the streets, partying in New Orleans, people were just singing his song and chanting his name all up and down, partying all night, and in the arena and at Superdome. I've heard that people, maybe Vince, still not too sold on him. They still seem kind of bland and boring. I don't agree with that, but that's what I've heard.
Boy, after we left New Orleans, it looked like his star was shooting straight up, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you saw how over he was. I mean, even like the Knot fans were just cheering his name and doing his like signature little move with the fist pumping in the air and singing his theme song. And then all of a sudden, after that, downhill.
Downhill. So you mentioned the Wyatts and you mentioned the Shield. You know, two teams that I really like, and now they've all kind of gone their separate ways, even breaking up Rowan and Harper. Did the WWE get the most out of those factions, or did they break them up too soon?
I think they broke the Shield up a little too soon. I think they jumped the shark with that one. I think they could have gone that little more and slowly started building up the breakup too, maybe, you know, this upcoming WrestleMania, personally, in my opinion. I mean, I think things will work out in the end. I think it's turning out just fine, but I like to see them get a little bit longer. The Wyatt, I don't know. I mean, kind of depends. I kind of like, you know, wasn't a bad time to break them up. I mean, they didn't like break up in terms of they're fighting and hate each other. You know, outside of Luke and Eric now, but I've also heard they might bring in the Ascension as part of the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be just a new version. It might be just as good or better.
I wonder how much this was predicated because of the injury to Daniel Bryan and that the fact that their heavyweight champion isn't a normal performer, or I should say a regular performer each week, that they had that void to the top carry, you know what I mean? And they had to get a little creative with who they put in the spots.
It could have been, you know, plus with Punk walking out, Roman Reigns all of a sudden getting injured, you know, their emergency surgery at the last minute, with Wade Barrett going down. Yeah, it could have happened. I mean, you know, they might have had to, maybe they felt they had to do it.
Yeah, Wade Barrett, boy, there's a name I haven't thought of in a while. Kerry, we have Survivor Series, as we've talked about here, this coming Sunday. Before we look at the matches for this show, do you have a favorite Survivor Series moment from your past?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say it's a little special. 1994 is the first pay-per-view I actually got to attend live, so that was always a little special. Hard to believe it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That sticks out. Of course, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, the Montreal screw job. And, you know, one moment I was thinking of that, I thought that was really clever, was the 2000 Survivor Series, that Kurt Angle Undertaker finish, using his brother that looked like him as a swerve to get to steal the victory and keep the belt. 2003, being there in person was a great crowd and great show from top to bottom. You know, there's 27 editions to look back on. A lot of memories.
Well, I guess a lot of people, like you said, would go with the Montreal screw job. For me personally, it is the very first one in 1987 because I was right at the height of being a fan of WWE at the time, and I was just amazed. Like, we're going to have this one show with teams of five striving to survive. You know, I still remember Vince McMahon screaming, like, get your turkey! Get your cranberry sauce! Remember, because it was on Thanksgiving, and it was just... I couldn't even believe it. So that was a special memory. I'll tell you, I went to only one. I went to the one in 2009, and it was a pretty forgettable show. I did want to go to a Survivor Series, so that was cool. But I thought once they don't have exclusively the elimination matches, the show lost a little bit of its uniqueness. Is that a fair criticism?
I would agree with that. I mean, that's why I'm excited they have at least have a top match or main event or two have involving that, and if you want to have a title match with a champion that actually shows up and is around, you know, that's fine. Or even have a special War Games Survivor Series match, that'd be fine too. But yeah, a lot of it has lots of, you know, uniqueness by taking away the traditional 8-man or 10-man elimination matches.
Yeah, so let's look at the matches that we're going to see this Sunday. I mean, right, the first one I want to talk about is Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. And this, Kerry, again, to our point about not having traditional Survivor Series matches. I mean, it's a great match, Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. But Survivor Series, it's not a team, I don't know. this could be on Monday Night Raw, it could be on the next pay-per-view in December, it could be a WrestleMania match if they build it right. It's a good match.
True, yes.
Two really good workers. I just wish that it would have been in a traditional match. I got to let that go. I kind of wish the whole show was still traditional matches. But do you like this matchup?
I think this could be the show stealer here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd been nice if they'd have led, you know, teams and maybe mixed up some, mid and lower card guys, kind of give them the rub to be, cast as in the bigger picture and show them that they can work. Mm-hmm. But for a one-on-one match, I think they could easily steal the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely, well, I mean, that's probably, that put that right up there with the Authority Team Cena match. Like, it's almost like a double main event, in my opinion.
You don't see a clean winner in this one, do you?
No, honestly, I think they're gonna probably drag that out to TLC or maybe even the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned John Cena, of course, his team taking on the Authority's Chosen Ones. Now, this is a traditional Survivor Series elimination tag team match. And, let's run it down. Cena, Dolph Ziggler, Big Show, Eric Rowan, and Ryback against Seth Rollins, Kane, Luke Harper, the Intercontinental Champion, Rusev, the U.S. Champion, and Mark Henry. Is the Authority storyline still interesting to you?
To me it has been the past few weeks because it's had purpose. For a while it kind of got bland and boring. It's like, okay, there's no purpose. Why are you still doing this? But it has purpose, and now that they're about to add a stipulation that if John Cena's team loses, they're all fired. So it definitely adds intrigue to see where they'll go with it. Will this begin, the Authority is out of power, and then you build up to the Triple H versus McMahon feud and Vince chooses the wrestler to face Triple H WrestleMania. Does it go that direction? Or, how that, there's definitely, I like how you've thrown in, you got Rusev in there to give him like a more of a main event rub. Same with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, give them more of a main event rub. And then Ryback, holy crap, he is so freaking over right now. I'm impressed. They need to ride that to the moon right now.
Yeah, and then interesting how his time away reinvigorated the people's appetite for him.
Oh, yeah. It's like JR said, if they don't start putting out Feed Me More type merchandise shirts and hats now, they're losing money every day by not doing that. That guy is just so over.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the fact that you said that the Cena team is fired if they lose, and it does, to me, give that feel that this match is going to have ramifications for several months. And that's, I think, what we're missing sometimes in WWE, is because of the monthly pay-per-views, the matches seem like they're not as important long-term. Is that fair?
I agree, yeah. You need more long-arcing, long-term storylines. Use the month pay-per-view events to build towards, your end result, and not just almost like a throwaway match, and then, okay, here it is, done. Okay, move on to the next feud, the next month. You got to kind of make it feel important. I know it's tough writing 6 hours of television plus the 3-hour, 4-hour pay-per-view. It's tough, but, you got to find a way to do it. Not to get a little tiring, but that's one thing that's been missing, between the Attitude Era and now, is that back then you cared about almost every character then. You don't have that now, and that's what's missing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you mentioned, this is a big push for Rusev being in this main event match, and I think that's great for him. If you and I were the bookers, we looked at the WWE roster, I think you'd feel very comfortable putting Big Show and Mark Henry in this match as well. They're pretty good hands, aren't they? I mean, they've been around a long time. They still have a big feel to them, especially because they're big guys. And those kind of guys are important on the roster, too, that you feel comfortable in a big spot.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And plus, they're veterans. They've been there. They've been around. Mark Henry started in, 96? Big Show started in 95. So you're talking about basically 20-year veterans. So, yeah, you definitely need them on. It's out there with some of the young guys to help them out and coach them a little bit.
Yeah.
And plus,
yeah.
Like I said, they're lately they've been dependable. You can count on them, and people still care about them. So I like the fact they're in the main event.
I do, too. And one of the matches I am looking forward to is the tag team title match, a four-way match. My goodness, between Goldust and Stardust, defending against the Usos, Los Matadores, and Miz and Mizdow. I think Goldust and Stardust must retain the titles here. They're on a good roll. I certainly don't want to see the Usos get the title back, as much as I respect their work. Maybe Miz and Mizdow come out of there with the titles, because I think that's an interesting thing they have going. What do you think of those two?
It's starting to tease dissension between those two, but it's amazing how Damian Sandow is really starting to get over too. People are loving it, and a lot of people were like, "Oh, how could you cast him in this type of role?" But he's made it work where the crowd loves him. He's more over than the Miz. So I think, hell, keep it going. Don't break him up yet. Keep it going. Slow build. Maybe give him a big match at WrestleMania and restart his push again. Push him to the top as high as you can. But I agree. Goldust and Stardust need to keep the belts. Too many title changes, you know, devalues the belts. Keep it on them for a longer time.
Yeah, and like we're talking about with Big Show and Mark Henry, everyone kind of has their role or their job to do on the show. Clearly, to me, the Usos and Los Matadores are in this match to provide that high-flying action, you know, a couple big spots in this match, but they're not in this match, I don't think, to win the titles. I think that the interesting storylines are all around Goldust and Stardust, perhaps Miz and Mizdow. Do you see a title change here?
I do not see a title change, and I agree. The Los Matadores and the Usos, it's kind of like the WrestleMania kickoff show, the Four Corners match, same thing. They're there to provide the action, keep the crowd into it, get the pops, but I do not see a title change.
Mm-hmm. Rumors that AJ Lee may be on the way out, maybe parting ways with WWE. She defends against Nikki Bella. You could see a title change here, I think. And I think sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. It seems like AJ's days with WWE may be coming to an end.
I heard the rumor, but she's advertised through TLC, maybe a little bit longer, but definitely not in January. So maybe that's just, maybe it's true. Maybe they just haven't, they forgot to put her name on the list. I mean, who knows? But I could definitely see a title change, and they could definitely make it work, adding it into the Nikki and Brie Bella feud.
Mm-hmm. By the way, with AJ, there's got to be tension backstage, doesn't there? The fact that she's married to CM Punk. I mean, I just don't see how I could go to work every day if the company really disliked my wife. I don't know. In this case, I feel like AJ, there's got to be some kind of tension there.
I guess. I mean, I don't know how that works. Maybe they're not. Maybe they truly see her in a different light. Say, hey, we know you're not your husband. You know, and we're not going to blame you. Because, I mean, they didn't get married until after he walked out. So, and who knows? I'm sure there's someone, I'm sure there's people back there who are like, you know, have some resentment towards her, you know, which is really not fair. You know, her husband's actions are not her actions, and they're not her.
Hmm.
But it could be some tension. You never know. But at the same time, she's marketable and money. So if you're a smart businessman, you don't leave money on the table.
Nah, well, that's a good point. Vince has proven that in the past. That the one last match Kerry wanted to bring up is the Divas Traditional Survivor Series match: Natalya, Alicia Fox, Naomi, and Emma versus Paige, Cameron, Layla, and Summer Rae. I would have enjoyed seeing a team captained by AJ and a team captained by Paige, or maybe, you know, the two Bellas as the captains, whatever. The fact that there's no AJ in this match devalues it a little bit for me, and I got to be honest, I'm a little tired of the whole Total Divas storyline integration. How do you view the traditional Divas Survivor Series match?
You know, I would like to see, it's only 4-on-4, I'd like to see them maybe add in Charlotte and you know, sign someone from NXT on, put one on each side, just to kind of give them experience in a more of a big match, big card feel. You know, like I said, the more you work, the better you get. I don't mind that AJ's not there. The fact they have two Divas matches on another major pay-per-view, I like that. The fact that they're finally doing something with the Divas, you know, maybe trying to have another era of, you know, your Trish, your Lita, your Victoria, Molly Holly, Ivory, and that kind of era. So I don't mind it as much.
Well, that's the rundown. Looking forward to Survivor Series this Sunday. You're going to WrestleMania this year, correct?
Oh, yeah. I've got my Royal Rumble ticket. I've got my WrestleMania ticket.
Oh, you're going to where's the Royal Rumble this year?
It's in Philadelphia.
Oh, very good. So you're going to Philly, and of course, WrestleMania out in the Santa Clara.
San Jose,
By the way, before we let you go, is there a rumor that you hear about with WrestleMania that you're most excited about? That if you read, you know, the next day on the internet that this is true, that you say, man, that's going to be a great part of the show?
I know people disagree with this, but I really hope the rumor's true that we'll see an Undertaker-Sting match. I realize maybe it's years and years past its prime, but I still want to see that. I heard one mild rumor of maybe having the title match have a three-way between Roman, Ambrose, and Rollins.
Hmm.
So that, I think, I'd rather see that versus a Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match personally.
That's a shame what happened to Roman Reigns. It's amazing, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns both on the shelf with injuries right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was talking to someone, I had my dream WrestleMania 31 card, and if that came true, oh, wow, it's probably one of the best ones ever. But, you know, that's why it's just a fantasy card, like a fantasy football league.
That's right. Well, Kerry Morris, always great having you on OWW Radio. We'll bring you on again soon. We'll talk more about the the Royal Rumble as it approaches, and thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, no problem. Do you mind if I put a quick plug in for the Square Circle?
You got it. Go ahead.
So Lisa Marie Barron's restaurant in Chicago, 2418 North Ashton, is the Square Circle. They are showing Survivor Series this Sunday. It's free. Just try to get there by 5 or 5:30. Tonight they are having a N64 Mercy video game tournament, $5. I believe there are prizes at the door, and it's Indie Night 2 Independent Wrestling, and one of the different wrestlers is going to be out there. Matt Nix, I believe is his name, will be out there celebrating his birthday. And then the December 26th house show in Chicago, they're having a party bus, $20 to get you a round trip luxury bus ride out there and back with a free T-shirt and party with some of the wrestlers at the restaurant afterwards.
Good deal. Good deal. Thank you so much, Kerry. I will talk to you real soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks again. That was great having Kerry Morris on the program to talk about WWE. Now I want to welcome Dr. David Reese to the show. So, Dr. Reese, how are you doing today?
Okay. A little cold out here, but doing okay.
Well, where are you right now? I know you do a lot of travel. Where are you calling, where am I calling you from?
Actually, I'm in Vermont, in Brattleboro, Vermont. This is my last week here. Fly back to San Diego Friday, where I expect it to be a few degrees warmer.
Yeah, you talk about it, two different worlds, right? You get on the plane in Vermont, and you touch down in San Diego. It's like, it's like you flew 20 hours away.
Right, no kidding. Okay. So, I wonder why I have a heavy cold with me.
Oh my goodness! Why? Well, I know you do travel a lot. What have you been up to? Are you? What are you doing in Vermont? Are you consulting? Are you teaching?
Yeah, no, I'm consulting here at the Brattleboro Retreat, which is a 125-bed psychiatric facility, as well as doing a lot of other things on the side and keeping busy. I have my private work in California that I go back and forth to. And I've been very involved with sports psychiatry and putting together some programs in that area.
Now, I met you at the Cauliflower Alley Club reunions out in Las Vegas. And of course, so then I know you more from the pro wrestling side of things. But remind people, Dr. Reese, what you do specifically for a living.
Okay, well, my background in psychiatry actually is in the California workers' comp system. And, in that system, I see people with a lot of different injuries, a lot of first responders, a lot of PTSD, a lot of physical injuries, but also athletes and also a lot of people who've had athletic injuries that come into play when you're dealing with their current situation. But without going into all the details, there's a quirk in California law whereby any pro athlete that plays a game in California, no matter what team they're on, if that game contributed to their injury, they can file a claim under California workers' comp. So I've evaluated any number of pro athletes who filed comp claims on that basis. And then that's led me into the whole sports psychiatry area. But I've basically been interested in sports medicine since medical school when I worked with the Northwestern football team long before I ever thought I'd be in California.
So this is a real hot topic right now because all of these former NFL players coming back suing the NFL over head injuries that they sustained. Do you feel, Doctor, that this is a money grab on their part? And let me preface this by saying, I think they all knew the risks of pro football when they were playing. I think had they been told by the teams they could not play because of these injuries, they would have gotten angry. So it feels a little shallow to me. It must be fascinating for you to follow this.
Yeah, I mean, there are two sides to it. One side of it is, especially when you're dealing with athletes who are anywhere from 19 to 25, no matter what you tell them, it's not going to get anywhere. And as a matter of fact, there was a study a couple of years ago, just recently, I think about 2 years ago, where they asked current college athletes if there was a drug you could take that was undetectable, that would improve your performance, but it would be guaranteed to take 10 years off your life, would you take it? And it was something like 65% said yes. So now, you can certainly argue that especially the veterans, really didn't know the risks. We're just now understanding it. I mean, when I worked with the Northwestern football team, a concussion was loss of consciousness, and if someone was knocked out on the field, if they knew vaguely that we were in the Big Ten and which side to run to, they got back in. So, you know, they didn't know all the risks. If they knew the risks, would they have made the same decision? They very well might have. You know, I was at a conference where someone used the term the sports concussion industry because it has become a big industry, and there's a lot of snake oil out there and a lot of people grabbing for what they can get. On the other hand, there are some really serious problems, and people who really didn't know what they were in for were really suffering.
My friends who played football, they just called it getting your bell rung. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I had a couple of good friends who played football, and you know, boy, they just saw stars. They got the bell rung. Get back in there. And I don't think they wanted a doctor telling them not to. It's a fine line, isn't it? And then you get in the problem where if you're the team doctor for Alabama or Florida State or Ohio State or one of these teams, you know, are your interests in the interest of the kid or the school winning? You hate to think that could be compromised, but couldn't it sometimes be colored by your loyalty?
Absolutely, and that's been a very big problem, even down to the school level, let alone the pros where there's millions of dollars on it. Sometimes there's no money on it. It's just the pride of the game, and you have people with very different motivations. You know, the one of the biggest issues is, you know, the severe concussions where, you know someone's really hurt. You know, that's not that difficult to deal with or to tell someone even 30 years ago, you know, you need to take a break. The problem is the minor, quote-unquote, bell rung where, you know, someone may have a little headache the next day, they may feel a little fuzzy, but it's really maybe a couple years down the line after it happens multiple times or even 20, 30 years later that we now realize it's really done brain damage. Mm-hmm. And you're basically taking someone out so the brain would heal so that they don't have problems 30 years from now. Now you try to tell someone who's one touchdown away from winning, well, we want you out of the game even though you're our best player because 30 years from now this may be a problem. You know, clinically, it's a clear decision. But on the field, it's not a clear decision at all for those who are there.
Yeah. Well, they've done a lot in sports medicine to try to define a concussion protocol, where if a guy is diagnosed with a concussion, he's got to go through a battery of tests, really, right, doctor, before he's allowed back on the field. How do you feel that has fallen into place? Do you feel that that's been an effective change to, you know, the health risks associated with contact sports?
Well, it surely helps. Now, I'm not a neurologist, so I can't speak, you know, definitively to all the neurological issues. But, you know, we do know that, you know, even just having your bell rung, if you come out, if you don't have a repetitive trauma, you know, within the next few days, a few weeks, a few hours, you know, the brain's got a better chance to heal than if you go and get your bell rung the next play. So, yes, I think that is protecting people more. How much of a difference it will make, we really won't know for 10 or 20 years, but at least from what we know, it is making some difference.
I think it's fascinating. You talk about, even though we know the dangers, look, people know the dangers of alcohol or drugs or smoking, and people make their own choices. What I think really fascinating, though, about this is that parents are now intervening when it comes to their children. Most famously recently, LeBron James said he doesn't let his sons play football.
Right.
Well, yeah, and let me just preface this also by saying that my son wanted to play football, and we let him play football because I figured this is his life and he really wanted to do it. Now, do you think parents sometimes overstep their boundaries and prevent their children from playing a sport they really want to play?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough call because, you know, nothing is without risk. You know, whether you're riding a bicycle, I mean, whether you're playing tennis, I mean, there's some risk. And it's a question of where you draw the line. And, you know, on one hand, you don't want to give a seven-year-old a responsibility that they really can't understand. On the other hand, you don't want to totally take away childhood because it can't be risk-free. So it's a balance. You know, the problem is that we're seeing data that the risks are much more severe than we thought. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Sports Legacy Institute dinner. Now, that's Chris Nowinski's organization that's connected to Boston University that does research on head injuries.
Okay.
And actually, the the focus this year, last year was wrestling. Triple H was the guest of honor because they had donated $1.2 million. Most years, football is the, you know, focus. This year, actually, soccer was the focus. And because what they found is that heading the ball, even if it doesn't cause a lot of acute symptoms, it builds up. And there's a very large movement now to prevent heading for kids under 14. You know, just to say it's not allowed because the brain is still developing and is more vulnerable at that point. Now, that's not saying to do away with soccer, and it's not taking that away from the kids, but it is reducing what is known to be a risk. There was one young woman there who had played only until she was about 17 and now has severe neurological problems, as she was talking about, just from heading the ball.
And that is interesting. You know, turning this conversation to professional wrestling, they've done away with the chair shots to the head. And they still use chairs, but you have to hit the guy with the broadside of the back or something like that. And I guess that's a good preventative measure. But to your point, there's always going to be risk. I mean, you can't perform in professional wrestling and not risk injury to your head. Or, you know, look, I got hurt playing basketball growing up. Every athletic endeavor has some sort of risk, correct?
Sure. I've had my bell rung playing basketball. Not playing it very well, but playing it.
But that's interesting about soccer, and we're seeing some modifications to football as well, trying to teach kids how to tackle safer. But, you know, look, I mean, you can get hurt going to get the mail, unfortunately,
right.
You know, if you fall the wrong way. So there's an element of risk, and I think that we can protect our athletes as much as possible. You made a great point. We understand the injuries and hopefully understand the treatments better. That's what excites me, is maybe we understand how to help people more if they're showing signs or symptoms.
That's a very good point. I mean, you know, the treatment is still in its infancy, and there are some treatments, as I say, that are out there that are very questionable. But on the other hand, we do have a much better idea. And from my point of view as a psychiatrist, that's one of the things that we really need to be more aware of, is when, whether it's a head injury or just someone who's out for a leg injury but is getting depressed, when someone's starting to get in trouble and they need some intervention. That intervention may or may not mean taking them off the field, but just preventing them to getting to the point where you have these tragedies that occur.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying every tragedy is preventable. They're not. But a lot of them would be if there was more awareness and appropriate intervention. And that doesn't mean just drugging people up.
So for what you do for a living, are you still traveling around the country a lot?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, here in Brattleboro, Vermont, I was in Boston for Sports Legacy on Thursday. I was in Stamford at WWE headquarters Friday. I was Long Island Saturday, New York City Sunday, and then I head back to California, where I'll be in all sorts of places around Thanksgiving before coming back east.
I would consider that a lot of travel. What did you think of WWE headquarters?
I mean, I didn't see a lot of it, but it was pretty impressive. You know, that's what I've driven it by there a number of times. It was the first time I was actually there as an invited guest, which was fun.
You see the big Andre statue?
I sure did. Sure did. And, yeah, I'll tell you a real quick funny story. This goes back a couple of years. I was checking in at Caesar's Palace. Who's at the next teller checking in but Andre?
Wow.
And, he's a big guy.
Yeah. He had two rooms waiting for him, right?
Must have. But, no, Andre was there, and then I'm walking out stunned, and I meet Gorilla going through the doors coming into Caesars.
Wow. You know, now, when you travel around and go to these different institutions, schools or whatnot, do you give speeches, or are you in front of a group of people talking about sports medicine?
Well, a lot of what I've been doing is individual, and at times I'm on panels, at times I've given talks, at times it's just participating in conferences. We had a seminar at a law school in San Diego, was last year or the year before, And it was basically on the legal aspects of head injury, but also getting to the clinical parts. And I invited Adam Pierce with me.
Okay.
And he was great. You know, he gave a presentation on just what it's like from the athlete's point of view. So it's all of that, but I'm also working on a very specific program. Actually, with right now, one of the people who's working very closely with me is Oscar from Men on a Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working to set up a support system for active and retired wrestlers and other athletes and entertainers, basically focusing on all mental health issues, depression, not focusing just on drug issues. That's not really my area. But just making more people more aware of the depression that comes, whether it's from injuries, whether it's from losing your position on the roster, whether it's retirement, not having a plan B, and just all the stresses related to being in the public eye and being in sports. That really goes down to the high school level of, am I going to make it to the colleges? Am I going to make it to the pros?
Yep.
It's very understated, and there are a lot more people suffering than people realize.
I think when you talk about depression, and you talk about, drugs not really your thing, but that's a big part of self-medicating, right? Because the stresses of the travel, of all the other things that go into professional wrestling and make it a difficult career. Are you really trying to, Doctor, talk about more healthy ways to manage all of that? Is that a fair way to say it?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not an addictionologist. Actually, I happen to be consulting on a detox rehab unit right now, so it's something I surely know about, but it's not my primary focus. But, yeah, if you're on the road all the time, you're away from family,
right,
and, you're in a profession where your career can end, whether it be for injury reasons or political reasons on a moment's notice, and particularly, whether it's football or wrestling, where the slope between, making the really big bucks and barely making lunch money is very steep.
No question. You talk about your career ending. It's what's so amazing about professional wrestling is, and I guess anything, you're right, there's a ceiling to your career when you're an athlete. Now, I realized that when I went to college. I was not going to play at Division I college in any sport. I certainly wasn't going to be a professional. There is a little bit of a sobering aspect to that. We all dream when we're 10 years old of being the best in the world at something.
Right.
And so is that a big thing for you when you talk to wrestlers that, look, I'm working the indies, I'm making 40, 50 bucks a weekend, I'm having a great time, but, I have to come to the grips and come to terms with the fact that Vince McMahon is never calling me.
Right, and that's where it's been very important for me to get athletes involved. Right now, Oscar, but also from other fields also. I mean, I'm involved in horse racing. I have some people from that involved, as well as other sports. Because, be very honest, you get a 25-year-old who's been told since he or she was in high school that they're the king or queen of the hill.
Yeah.
They're not going to listen to some white-haired shrink tell them, think about what it's going to be like to retire. That's like talking to the man in the moon. They need to hear it from peers, both the ones who were successful and knew how to plan their careers and the ones who weren't successful and really fell into a hole. And that's what we're working on, is really setting up a lot of peer interaction. And then professional intervention is needed. But it's very, very hard to tell that high school student that, maybe you'll make it to college, but, if you're lucky, you'll be on the second team. And if you're very, very lucky, you'll be on the practice team for an NFL team for 6 months.
Well, one of the most amazing examples, I think, in terms of a fall from grace, do you remember the Diva China?
Sure.
Can you believe that?
Forget China.
Yeah, and imagine that 1 week she is front and center in the WWE, working with DX and all this kind of stuff, and really, I would argue, the most famous female athlete in the world at the time.
Yeah.
And the next week, she couldn't get booked at a local gymnasium.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine how the politics, it ruined her career?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're in a whole different world now from even then, because, you know, what even in those days, you know, maybe someone would pick it up and it would go public and the politics would kick in. But a lot of the scandals and the problems and the issues that would be buried on page 16 of the local sports pages,
right,
now are tweeted worldwide in instants. You know, and immediately everybody worldwide knows what you were doing, and you've got half of TMZ following you.
You know,
so
that's a great point.
Different world.
Yes, that is a great point, because when we think about in the old territory days, you know, you could be a heel in Florida and then you're a face in Charlotte.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Like John Cena would be a heel in Florida, then you go work at, you know, the Dallas territory and be a face. It's just a whole different way that information is transferred.
Oh, that's yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I remember the days when WWE used to tape, you know, two or three shows in one big
mm-hmm.
taping.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at, this goes back kind of probably 20-some-odd years. I was at one of those tapings in San Diego. There were actually three shows. Bobby and Gorilla changed their coats three times. And there were guys that went between heel and face twice within that one show.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, because it was going to be shown a couple weeks apart. And but now, you know, it gets on Twitter and you know everything right away. Or it gets on Facebook, you know, for better or worse. So the politics are much more important and much more dangerous to people's careers. You make one bad comment and you're in trouble.
Doctor, one of the questions I want to ask you, we talk about, you know, the trauma to the head and everything and dealing with depression, but it feels anyway like there's a decrease in steroid use, at least overtly. We don't see the huge muscle guys as much anymore. What do you think about steroids? Do you think it's a healthier business? Do you see that when you talk to some of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely is less, although there are some other drugs out now that are less detectable that we have no idea what the long-term effect is. Just like with steroids, you know, everyone talks about steroid rage, which
yeah.
is an issue, but really was pretty rare, and that when you really look at it, people were much more in danger from steroids in terms of long-term effect on the heart than rage. But, you know, yeah, that's much less, and, you know, the steroids definitely took its toll on a lot of people. But it's surely not totally clean, and it's never going to be totally clean. I don't care whether you're talking about wrestling or baseball or horse racing. If someone can get an angle and think they can get away with it, they're going to take it.
Sure. Do you still like professional wrestling? I mean, do you still follow it? Do you watch it on television at all?
You know, it depends where I am and what I'm doing. I have to say that at times I get distracted, but I'll still mark out, you know, and I still enjoy it. Obviously there's some storylines and there's some productions and shows that I like better than others. But, yeah, I mean, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be involved.
You talk about wrestling and still enjoying it. I think that's a nice reconnection we have when we go back to the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion, which this year is back in April. Last year it was in June. Isn't that a nice way to kind of reconnect with the business?
I love going out there, and, you know, it's great to be able to talk to a lot of the people, you know, just as people, and that's one of the great things about it not being a fan fest, in that it really is down to earth. But then when I go to the shows there, I'm at a show, and I want to be entertained, and I am entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, the Casino Royale wrestling show that they put on the Sunday and Monday nights, two nights, and boy, it features some of the best wrestling stars on the independent level. I think people don't realize when they come to the CAC, you're getting two great wrestling shows for free.
Right. I mean, you're getting the best of the majors, you're getting the best of the minors. You know, there's the NWA championship belt changed hands at CAC this year, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't Rob Conway Roy get the belt at CAC?
He sure did.
And you see veterans, you see the people coming up, you see them against each other, you see them teaming. I mean, it's really unique and, you know, great experience.
And I've had the privilege of working some of those shows, a little bit of a nervous locker room, because they know there's a lot of important people sitting around watching those matches. You better lace them up tight when you're performing at the CAC, because you may get noticed in that crowd.
Right, you know, and it's, you know, both noticed in terms of, you know, bookers and people who are going to hire you, but also, you know, you're young and coming up, and suddenly you're wrestling in front of Terry Funk.
Yeah,
you know, that's something interesting.
No question. Are you coming to the 50th?
I expect to. Yeah, I expect to be there. Not sure that I'm going to give seminars this year. I've given seminars the past couple of years, and I think people probably need a break from me, but I'm sure I'll be there. And I'll be there. You know, I'm always willing to talk to people, you know, unofficially, if anyone wants to talk to me about anything.
Well, how many reunions have you been to now?
I think it's about 7 or 8. You know, this past year I did one seminar with Daniels and Kaz, which was really fun. In the past, I've, you know, given seminars with Ted DiBiase Sr., which, I mean, it was great. He put me over. That was great. I've done it with J.J. Dillon. So I've been doing it, I think it's about 7 years.
Pretty good list of co-pilots there on your seminars, huh?
Yeah. It was a little bit intimidating, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, for those who don't know, the CAC has announced a few of the honorees for the upcoming 50th. Diamond Dallas Page is going to be the first ever two-time award recipient, and he'll get the Jason Sanderson Humanitarian Award for his work with DDP Yoga, and also a Men's Wrestling Award for his fine career. Mm-hmm. Demolition getting the first ever Tag Team Award. Dennis Brent getting an Historian Award. And people who have fun in Vegas at the CAC also need to remember that this club primarily is a fundraising club that hands out money to people in need and also honors and recognizes the very finest in this business. Aren't the award ceremonies really, really special?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very moving at times. Some of the acceptance speeches, because again, it's not a fan fest where people are trying to put on an act. And that doesn't mean that Roddy Piper, when he was up there, didn't go in and out of character. But it's really down to earth. It's really serious. These are real people with real emotions, and you make contact that you can't make that connection anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there. Before we let you go, Doctor, as you get further into your career and have had a lot of different experiences, what still fascinates you about the career choice that you chose?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. You know, I mean, I got into it a roundabout way, and then I was in engineering first, and then I went to biomed engineering, and then med school, and then I got into psychiatry. What I would say is it's never boring. You know, no two people are the same. No matter how much the story may seem the same on the surface, you know, if you're doing it right and you're not just throwing meds at people and not just treating insurance companies or, you know, paperwork, you know, you're meeting people from every walk of life with every type of story, good and bad, and it's always a challenge. To do it right is always a challenge. And, you know, to equate it to wrestling, it's like every match, no matter how much you could say the moves are the same, every match is different.
Yeah, for me, every time I step in the ring, it's a learning experience. No matter where I am, who's, you know, who I'm ring announcing for, I learn something every single time.
95% of what I've learned is from patients, not from books.
Oh, that's interesting. Is there something that you still want to accomplish in your career? Something really, really big on your bucket list that you still strive for?
I would say, you know, making people more aware of mental health issues as just part of normal life. Yes, we have the severe disorders, et cetera, but just making people more aware that it's important to look at how you're feeling. It's important to be compassionate to others and to really work with who people are, not just seeing people as cardboard figures. And then that goes into every aspect of life, really.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, Dr. Reese, I always love having you on the program. Remind everybody where they can find you on social media or perhaps a website.
Sure. Website is www, and it's one word, DMRC, dynamics is one word. That's my Twitter also. And my email is dmreiss@gmail.com. Always glad to hear from people. Always glad to communicate. Facebook, same thing. I'm just there under my regular name. Easiest to get to me, you know, get through Twitter to Facebook, and that's just DMR Dynamics.
Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Reese, I want to wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Again, thank you so much for being a guest on OWW Radio, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Same to you and your family. It's been my pleasure, and hopefully see you soon.
You got it. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thanks again to Kerry Morris for dropping by to talk about WWE and Survivor Series, and to our featured guest, Dr. David Reese, for his discussion about all the interesting aspects of mental health and how it impacts today's athletes. From everybody here at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, we wish you and your family a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, well, that's okay.